Let's look at the verse, Matthew 1:21. Let me read it to you. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge given to me that you want me to speak to a person or a situation, Lord, if you prompt me with that, I want to be obedient to speak to that. Help me to remember and to know that out of everyone on campus today, I'm the one that's under a strict judgment, a greater judgment, because I'm a teacher of your word. So, Lord, I stand and deliver and rightly divide your word today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. We look at Matthew 1:21. I want to bring out three things to you from this verse. One is, she says she will give birth to a son. And you got to know how my brain works. When I was studying for this, the first thing that happened to me was this was the very first reveal party in the New Testament, you know? When I saw that, I thought, you know, I was thinking that there was blue balloons everywhere when the angels are telling them you're going to have a son. And I envisioned a blue cake and that blue powder that you throw on everybody, you know, at the reveal party. The angels, all of heaven, was revealing to Mary. Heaven itself was saying, you're going to have a son. And this son is special. Heaven also named him. We didn't have Mary and Joseph going to Barnes and Nobles and find a book on baby names, you know, to come up with what are we going to call him. Heaven gave the declaration of what to be able to call him. And he says, you're to give him the name that is Jesus. Jesus was a very common name. There were a lot of little boys that had the name Jesus. He was not the only one. And the reason family did that, moms and dads did that, is really no different than why we do it today. Because you may name your child after your favorite musician or a sports star or some national leader or a president or whatever. That happens all the time. And there's hopes that maybe by naming that son that name, specific name, that they're going to grow up and be great leaders. That's no different than here, because in the Old Testament, the name Joshua is connected to the name of Jesus. And even though Moses led the people out of slavery in Egypt, it was Joshua who led them into the promised land. So to name a little boy Jesus in the New Testament times was really a connection of the person of Joshua, which meant salvation. And here's the take on all that. Though it was common for little boys to be named Jesus, only one of these little boys was qualified to actually bring salvation to your soul. A lot of boys named Jesus, but there was only one who was anointed to bring salvation to us, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus. The third reveal that is here is heaven also determined his mission. It said he will save his people from their sins. It's revealing that he's going to be a son. It's revealing that his name also means his mission of coming to bring salvation to us. I try to be as transparent with you as I can be as a pastor. And our holidays have been very difficult, very difficult. 99.9% of you know what I'm talking about here. So the fraction that doesn't, our son-in-law Tom passed away in August of cancer. And it's just been difficult. It's been tough. I'm not saying we're not going to make it. We are making it. But it's just tough. It's just a tough journey. And we are going to push through. But I want to confess to you, after Tom's death, I had conversations with the Lord, and some of those conversations were questions. And I don't think it's wrong to ask questions. I think Ecclesiastes and Lamentations, two books of the Old Testament, are nothing but books of questions to the Lord. And one of my questions to the Lord was this, and I want to preface this. I know what I'm about to say to you is not true, but I'm telling you that's how I felt. And it doesn't mean that my feelings were true. It's just where I was. One day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you say that you love us and that you love my family. And if you really love my family like you say you do, I said, you would have healed Tom. Now you're saying, well, Jeff, you're angry. I really wasn't angry. I just had some questions. Now, I don't know how well you know the Lord, but here's the answer he gave back to me. I felt the Father said to me, hey, Jeff, if I didn't love you, I would have never sent you Jesus. Now, think through that for a moment. I'm thinking about my own circle of living. And Lord, if you'd have loved me and loved my family, you would have healed Tom. And he did heal Tom. He just didn't heal him here. And I know the truth to all that. I'm just telling you what I felt. And that feeling didn't stay very long, especially after Father put the word on me. You know what I'm saying? So if he hadn't have loved me, he would have never sent me Jesus. And I have to say in that moment, I said, I'm glad you sent me Jesus. Not too long ago with a group of people, I gave them a challenge. And the challenge was this. I want you to understand that following Christ is not the easiest thing that you'll do, but I also want you to know it's not the hardest thing you'll do. If we're not careful, we who preach will make it seem like it's impossible to follow Jesus. And it's not impossible. Let me tell you the hardest way to live. The hardest way to live is to live unfaithfully from the Lord. That is a harder life than following Jesus. There is a scripture verse in Proverbs that says, the burdens of the Lord are not hardensome. They are not hard to carry. And then I go to the New Testament. If all of you are weak and heavy laden, come, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. And it says what? My burden is heavy? No, my burden is light. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to follow Jesus, but the hardest way to live is to not follow Jesus. If you live unfaithfully, you have a far more difficult life than I do. You all hearing me? Because if you're living unfaithfully, the world is turning you this way and turning you that way. But if you're following the Lord, he's keeping you on a constant direction all the time. And it is a faithful and true direction. So the hardest way to live is to live unfaithfully from the Lord. Some of us who follow the Lord with all of our might can see that it seemed like those who don't follow the Lord prosper, but they're not prospering. Unfaithful living is the most difficult living that there is on the planet. He says, my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he doesn't mean for you to be dragging around a ball and a chain in bondage all of your life. For those who follow the world, they are. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Before we get to this verse, and it is a verse about Christ being our gift, our indescribable gift. The verses that follow, that are previous to that verse, Paul is talking about Christians being generous. And Paul says, we are enriched so that we can therefore be generous. We can be generous. And then as Paul gets to talking about generosity, he also realizes the truth of God's gift to us. There's the gift of God's Son. We've already talked about that and about him. There is the gift of God's grace. He gives you what you don't deserve. And there is the gift of God's mercy. He's holding off what you do deserve. Sometimes we don't talk about his mercy. But he's holding back what rightfully should be thrown upon me. And he graciously gives to me what I don't even deserve. And then the gift of God's salvation. In the verses prior to verse 15, Paul is saying that all generous giving is birthed in Jesus. If you've ever had a generous moment in your life, the Lord breathed into that moment. The world's going to tell you to take. Satan's going to tell you to take and to be a taker. And the Lord says, if you follow me, you're going to be a giver. And then when Paul is talking about generosity to Christians, to each other and to other people, he is reminded of how generous the Lord is to us and that he gave us Jesus. And I want to point to you the last two words, indescribable gift. The word indescribable, it means unspeakable. It means there are no words to describe him. I remember in the 70s, Christian contemporary music was just really coming on the scene. People like Keith Green and Petra. Do you remember Petra? Y'all remember Petra? White Heart, all those groups. And I remember almost every new song had the word awesome in it. Because you know that my God is an awesome. I know you really want me to finish that. But I was thinking about that being my gift to you today, but I'll switch on that. But almost every song had the description of God as being awesome. And I heard one man say one time that there is not a word in the English language that can really describe who God is. That's how great he is. And that's what Paul is saying here. There are no words to do him justice of what a gift he is. There are no words, indescribable, unspeakable. He says, I can't think of a word to describe what a gift he is to us. He is the indescribable gift. You're going to get gifts today, tomorrow, and you're going to receive them. Great. But don't as people have been generous to you and you're being generous to others, be like Paul and remember that the greatest generosity that has ever been shown in this world is the gift, the indescribable, unspeakable, words can do no justice gift of Jesus. So today we light the Christ candle. I am lighting the Christ candle with the verse of John 8:12, where Jesus says he is the light of the world. But before I light the Christ candle, I've got to be confessional to you for a moment, all right? I have a fetish. That's the quietest you all have been all day. I have a fetish with lights. Now, inside the house, I like it dimly lit. I like it mellow. They call me mellow yellow. Right? All right. I like it mellow in the house. When it comes to outside, I love lights. Like on my truck, I have regular headlights and regular floodlights, but I have two lights in the middle of the grill. And if I turn those things on, it will melt your car. They are unbelievable. I use them when I'm hunting, sometimes late at night on the road so I can see the deer on the side of the road. You know what I'm talking about. In the bed of my truck, it is totally wrapped with LED lights. I can push one button and the whole bed of my truck and my camper lights up. It looks like this nuclear glow at night in the dark. I have a side-by-side, I call it my hunting buggy. And on the front of it, at the very top, I've got an LED light bar at the top of the windshield. And when I'm out hunting and going through the woods, it looks like an alien mothership has landed. And there's this big, true story, we're in Arkansas and we're driving our buggies to a duck hole. And there's three buggies in front of me. I'm the fourth buggy, which means I'm behind. My light on my bar was so bright that none of the buggies in front of me even used their light. Just completely just set it ablaze. I love flashlights. I want them to go through you when I point them at you. When I hunt, I use headlamps. All right? I use headlamps. And I remember a few years ago, I bought a headlamp. And when I get a headlamp, I study the lumens. Do y'all know what I mean by the lumens? That means how bright it is. So I had never seen a headlamp that had 200 lumens before. So I bought that thing, and it'll light up a duck blind when you're walking through the water, getting to your duck blind, carrying all your stuff. It just lights up things. I love it. Now, I don't know about you all, but I have absolutely fallen in love with Amazon. Are you all with there with me? Huh? So I thought, I'm going to see what kind of headlamps they have in Amazon. So I'm headlamps in the search department, and I found a headlamp in there that had 5,000 lumens. And I bought it for me, my Christmas present for me. I mean, it's a bad mamma jamma, you know. I mean, it's got three big old lights on the front of it, 5,000 lumens. Hang on. I said that in the first service, and Chuck Austin, I didn't know that he loved headlamps like I do. And we both got on Amazon after the service, the first service. We found one with 8,000 lumens on it. He bought it right here in the altar just after the first service. And then I got to looking, I found one with 20,000 lumens on it. I got to realize that why do I like outside light so much? It's because I don't like darkness. And Jesus doesn't like darkness either. Look what it says here. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He doesn't like it either. He doesn't like it when you and I and the darkness captures us here. He says, but you will have the light of life. Jesus is teaching during the Festival of the Tabernacles. It's also referred to as the Feast of Lights. And when they have this festival and this feast, they literally light up the city. People come out with these elaborate candle systems and lamp systems. And if you were to stand away from the city for a moment or at a distance, you would see a unified glow over all the city, because they would burn them every night during the festival or the Feast of Lights. And they did that to commemorate when Moses led Israel out of Egypt. While they were in the wilderness or the desert, he guided them with a pillar of fire and light. He used it to protect them and also to guide them. So they would commemorate that, their commitment to the God of light. It is said that Jesus is in a room when he's teaching this, and that probably the room is filled with candles and light. And as he's at this feast, he's using the Feast of Lights to describe himself. And he says to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we light the Christ candle today, and when we light your candle in a few minutes, here's what we are saying. We are committed to the God of light because the God of light is committed to us. And when we light our candle, we're saying we not only recognize his guidance in our past, but we commit to his guidance in our life today and for all the future. Remember, to live unfaithfully and to be jerked around by the world is the most difficult way to live. But to live to be led by the Father of Lights, it's a wonderful way to live. You can do it. It's not easy, but it's also not impossible. And it's possible because of the Lord himself being our guiding light. So as we light the Christ candle today, we are remembering that he guided the path in our past, and we trust him to guide our path in the present and also in the future.